Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And to see if you qualify. That's 800-375-2621.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents Need to Know Information because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
Sometimes I tell people I have plans when really I'm going to mindlessly scroll through my social feed until my battery runs out.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
I talk to my dog. I have long drawn out conversations with him, and I think he understands me.
Again, not really needed, but knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
I'm okay with the 5-second rule. The 90-second rule works too.
And not needed. But you should know GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
National contest data message rates apply. Now, it's Memphis Money Madness. Penny, hoops, and cash. All month long. Brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Here's this hour's code word.
All right, cash code this word is princess. Text the word princess. P-R-I-N-C-E-S-S. To 72881. You got a chance to win $1,000. And we had a local winner this week. So we already gave away $1,000. You want to win your grand right now? Text the word princess, P-R-I-N-C-E-S-S, to 72881. You got 59 minutes to do so, okay? So text the word princess to 72881. Good luck, princess. Got another cash word coming up at 4 o'clock, or at 5 o'clock. So that's 4 o'clock, princess, 5 o'clock. Code word in about 58 minutes.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Well, let's do it. Happy Thursday to you, wherever you may be. We appreciate you taking some time. As the introduction suggests, my name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at JWright929ESPN. I'm joined by my partner in crime, the executive producer of the program. He's Brad Carson. Brad, good day, sir.
What up? What up?
Let's tell everybody what's coming up here on the program quickly. Gary Parish is at Atlantic 10 Media Days. He's going to join us from Brooklyn here momentarily. Of course, we'll get into the Grizzlies as well as Gary's thoughts on the NBA as whole. His Lord and Savior, LeBron James, returns to action tonight. So GP's got to be in a great mood. GP will join us for the first couple of segments here, and then we'll do four stories around roughly 4:44. Gus Malzahn's seat is getting hotter. Is there a chance he's not the coach next week? We'll discuss that and more. The Thursday night football game is gross. But if you're like me, you're going to bet it anyway. So I'll tell you just what to expect and what to look for tonight when the Broncos travel to Arizona to go play in the big toaster against the Cardinals. We'll discuss the MLB playoffs. Kate Upton got into it on Twitter last night. And Brad, since it is the Gary Parish Show, I feel like I should at least honor the traditions of the show. We have a list of the most popular and least popular celebrities that were on the Forbes 100 of the richest entertainers.
Oh, good.
So we'll get into who's the most popular and who is the least popular. Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 5 o'clock, as he does each and every day on this program. Then John Martin around 5:25. We'll eventually do dinner to go, and then we'll get the heck up out of her. But now, without further ado, we welcome all the way from Brooklyn, New York, he is Gary Parish, of course, CBS Sports columnist, as well as television personality. GP, happy LeBron Day.
Yeah, the king and savior back on the court tonight in Laker gold and purple for the first time in a regular season game. So looking forward to that, and more than anything, just looking forward to getting on a plane here in about an hour or so and going straight to sleep. I've now exited Brooklyn. I'm in, I guess, technically Queens, very close to LaGuardia. So if we have this awkward exchange here in about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, where it sounds like I'm getting out of a car and grabbing bags and walking into an airport, it will be because I am, in fact, getting out of a car, grabbing bags, and walking into an airport.
Does anyone – I always wondered this. Like, isn't Brooklyn actually titled Kings, and that's the whole Kings and Queens thing? Is that a thing, or did someone make that up and then totally goof me?
I feel like that might be made up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never heard – I honestly don't know, but I've never heard that. I've never personally heard that story.
GP joining us here again. He is at A10 Media Days, finally on his way back home. He's going to be in studio tomorrow. Let's start first here with the Memphis Grizzlies. In your opinion, how bad was it?
Oh, that's as bad as it gets. I mean, it's one thing to lose your opener on the road to a playoff team. Like, that's not the worst thing in the world. They were 6.5-point underdogs. But to just get run off the court, I mean, what is it, a 28-point loss? Where you were really out of the game from the opening quarter, the players you're hoping that play well to give you a chance to be competitive this season obviously didn't. Mark and Mike combined to go, I think, 5 of 22 from the field. Like, anytime Mike and Mark are going 5 of 22 from the field, Garrett Temple's getting more shots than anybody on the roster. Dylan Brooks is only playing 6 minutes. Like, that's all not ideal. And I'm not somebody who tried to pretend last year that Dylan Brooks was anything other than Dylan Brooks. I think we got into a little bit of a routine where we were just so thrilled to see a Grizzlies rookie not be a total bum that it was like, Dylan Brooks is awesome. He was never awesome. You know, when people argued about, you know, when he was left off the all-rookie team, I was like, go find me any of the guys who are on the all-rookie team that Dylan Brooks is better than. He's not on the all-rookie team because he doesn't belong there. He's a good player, but he's still just Dylan Brooks. That said, he should probably be playing more than 6 minutes per game. And so the whole thing was a little weird and obviously deflating. The great news is that you turn around tomorrow night and you got the Atlanta Hawks, and they're like maybe the only team worse than you. Like you could play about like you played last night and still beat the Hawks at home. So I would be more concerned if they were playing another even decent team tomorrow night, because then it would just feel really terrible going into the weekend. But almost no matter what, they're going to enter Saturday with a 1-1 record, and they'll probably look a lot better against the Hawks, because even the Knicks look great against the Hawks. And then, you know, everybody will calm down a little bit. But in terms of coming off a tank season and then having your season opener and everybody's healthy, let's go. And then that, yeah, it was a pretty dispiriting performance.
How do you assess whether or not, like, for instance, with Marc Gasol, there seemed to be a lot of people on Twitter that were saying step slow, step slow, step slow. There seemed to be people that were saying disinterested. How do you tell the difference between whether or not a guy's just maybe PO'd because of how his team is performing and whether or not Father Time is rearing its ugly head?
I could be disinterested in the opening game of a season. Like, I understand how you could be disinterested in game 63 and you're, you know, clearly tanking. Like, that, I understand that. But disinterested in the opening game, that's a rough deal. So I hope that wasn't the case. In the spirit of transparency, I was on a plane last night flying from Fort Lauderdale to New York, just the same way I'll be on a flight tonight flying from New York to Memphis. So I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I'm in a group chat every night with three other friends who are hardcore Grizzly fans. One of them even, like, works for the Memphis Grizzlies. You can probably guess who it is. And I heard all of this stuff from them. Like, you know, look slow. Looks like he's not interested. Looks like he's pissed off. And none of it's good. I mean, I guess I'd bottom line it with whether he looks slow or disinterested, you don't want your franchise player looking either, ever, but certainly game one. But I would tend to lean on the side of step slow just because you look at his age and this is where this stuff starts to happen. And again, it just flies in the face of common sense to be disinterested in the opening game of a season. Like, that's when you should be more interested than ever. And yet, you know, if people were reading it that way, that's obviously not great.
Talking, of course, with Gary Parrish. He's on his way back from New York. He'll be back in studio joining us as he makes his way to the airport to try and get home. And then I wanted to ask you this. In terms of matchups for the Grizzlies, for a team that really has to work on chemistry and has to work on the way that, essentially the way that they're going to try and play basketball, how bad of a matchup last night was Indiana for them, given the fact that they have so much cohesion?
I mean, I guess, but, I saw a lot of that on Twitter last night. You know, when I tweeted, which was nothing more than a joke, about R.J. Barrett's going to look real nice in that Bill Street blue. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, look on the bright side, Grizzlies fans. And I got people saying, oh, it's too early for that GP. Like, I'm just playing around. Like, you're the only one, like, taking this too seriously if you took the time to reply to me. I saw some of that, too. Like, well, you have to understand, the Pacers are a terrible matchup. I guess I'd put it this way. I ain't never heard anybody talk about the Pacers being a terrible matchup for anybody before. Like, I hear sometimes the Warriors are a terrible matchup or the Rockets are a terrible matchup. But, like, if we start the season rationalizing 28-point losses because the Pacers are a terrible matchup, like, you're starting in a bad place. I mean, I agree with the sentiment. Like, I get it. But, like, if the Pacers are an impossible matchup for you, you might just not be very good.
At what point do we maybe have to consider that reality?
Oh, 2 months ago?
Yeah, I mean, that seems fair.
I mean, listen, one of the things I'd always said when the win total came out, I think it was set at like 37, and people were like, that's crazy. You know, if Mike and Mark stay healthy, there's no way they only win 37 games. And my point was always, yeah, but like that whole if Mike and Mark stay healthy is a little bit like, you know, if I win the lottery, boy, I'm not going to have to worry about how I pay my mortgage next month. Like, yeah, well, that's true, but you're probably not going to win the lottery. And similarly, Mike and Mark probably aren't going to stay healthy, if only because for the past 5 years, they have failed to both play 70 games in a season. So it doesn't mean that it's impossible for them to both stay healthy, but they don't usually do it. And it, you would think it's less likely than ever, given that they are, just like the rest of us, older than ever. So that was always one issue. But beyond that, you look at the roster, and it's not great. You know, you've got two guys who have been very good in this league for a while, in Mike and Mark. But they're both on the older side. I think most people assume their best basketball for both of them is possibly, if not probably, in the rearview mirror. And then the rest of the roster is whatever. You know, they've got a 19-year-old who they think can be a star, and I'm more willing to believe that now than I was, say, 2 days before the draft. But nobody's a star at 19 years old, so we got a little ways to go with that. And so, you know, there's a reason why I don't think anybody, literally anybody, projected the Grizzlies to make the Western Conference Finals. And when you're not projected to get there, and in fact, you're not even really projected to finish ninth or 10th, it means that you might not be very good. And so I know that everybody wants to be optimistic, and I will be right there with them. Like, I'm going to hope that last night was just an aberration, and we'll see the real Grizzlies soon enough. But it was always more reasonable than unreasonable to think that they were about to miss the playoffs for the second consecutive year and win somewhere right around 35. 36, 37 games. Like, if you go to the 538 NBA blog right now, they've got it projected at 33 and 49. You know, these are all unbiased statistical, you know, formulas that create these projections. And there's never been a projection connected to this season for the Grizzlies that was anything other than not great. You know, we were sort of looking at it to the extent we're being hopeful that maybe everybody can be wrong and you can prove everybody wrong. But the NBA, like I've said a million times, it's not really the sport where you prove people wrong. Like, you know, the Atlanta Braves can be picked to finish, I don't know, third or fourth in the NL East and then go win the NL East. Like, you know, you can be picked to finish not great in the NFL and actually go to the Super Bowl. There are surprises in those sports. But in the NBA, year after year, the teams that are supposed to be great usually are. Teams that are supposed to be good usually are. Teams that are supposed to be bad usually are. So if you're trying to defy the odds in this sport, you've really got to do something that doesn't happen too often.
What would you say to another common criticism last night of the Grizzlies was the fact that J.B. Bickerstaff didn't have them running offense, didn't have them running them set plays, and a lot of it just essentially was just, this is Bickerstaff's fault. You know, this is what you get when you hire, this is what you get when you hire an interim coach and you didn't do the whole process. What would your response to that criticism be?
Yeah, well, first I would say that, again, I was on a plane. I didn't see it with my own eyes. You know, so I don't want to take somebody's word for it and start bashing offensive possession based on what somebody said on Twitter. And I will also say that, you know, just, you know, some people will say about Mike, that some people don't think the Rockets really run Zips.
Yeah.
But it worked. But, right. But it worked. You know, like some of John Calipari's best teams aren't really out there running sets. Like, I remember John would almost brag, we don't even have plays. We just play. And so there's a lot of different ways to play basketball. I think ultimately the teams that got players that make plays win, and the teams that have players that don't. But I do think that the Grizzlies are on the wrong side of that equation, what I just stated. Like, you know, if you aren't going to operate at a high level in the half court and you don't have the athletes or explosiveness to get out in the full court and in transition after defensive rebounds or turnovers or whatever, then how are you going to score? Like, you know, you don't have a team full of shooters. You're not great in the half court and obviously can't rebound, or at least it looks like you can't rebound, and you're not great in transition. Like, none of that, like those are all characteristics of a not good basketball team. And so, listen, it is one game into the season. I'm not going to advocate going into full tank mode now. You don't do that when you are one game in with three big money players under contract and everybody's healthy. But, you know, am I convinced we won't in January be having the exact same conversations we had last January, which is like, is it time to accept reality and start trying to stack lottery odds to get another top five pick and maybe add a R.J. Barrett or Nasir Little or whomever? I mean, yeah, I could certainly see that. I don't want it because it's not that much fun. But, you know, the most likely scenario has always been that, you know, when April comes around, the Grizzlies are easily out of the playoff picture as opposed to safely in it.
In terms of what impressed you more, I'm going to give you two options. Does 7 rebounds per quarter for the entire team, does that impress you more? Or does shooting under 30% from the field, including layups, everything, 30% from the field impress you more?
Yeah, I do think, and I know JB said this afterwards, like, that's about as bad as it gets. I do believe that, by the way.
Yes.
Like, if only because some of those things are hard to do.
Yes. Very hard. Yeah. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, in a game. You have professional basketball players. It's hard to shoot that percentage. It's hard to, you know, I don't get caught up on raw rebound numbers too much, but sure. Even if you go look at the offensive rebounding percentage, defensive rebound, it's all bad.
Yes.
Like, I when somebody just quotes raw numbers, I'm like, well, what does that even mean? But if you go break it down for this particular game into offensive rebounding percentage numbers, defensive rebound percentage numbers, it sort of tells the same story. It's like they weren't grabbing missed shots. And so it's all bad. Like, there was a single positive thing that came out of that game last night. And I just don't, in fairness, think every game's going to be like that, think the next game's going to be like that, even think most games are going to be like that. But whereas the night before, we watched the Celtics play the Sixers. So it's good team against good team.
Yes.
And Kyrie Irving wasn't good. Gordon Hayward wasn't good. And they still won by 18 points. Like, that says something about Boston. They don't even need their good dudes to be great. And they don't need their great guys to be great or even good, and they can still beat a quality opponent. Well, obviously, the Grizzlies can't beat anybody if their good players don't play well. They'll lose by 28 if their good players don't play well. But what happens when their good players do play well? How good are they then? To me, that's the question. Okay, last night was a disaster and an aberration, and let's just take it over here and leave it alone. But what happens when Mike and Mark do play well, or Mike or Mark do play well? How good are they then? Are they good enough to be what you want them to be then? I'm not sure. And to me, that's always been the fundamental issue. It's not what happens when they don't play well. It's like, where's the ceiling even when they do play well? I've never thought it was as high as maybe some people thought. You know, I'm not sure that anything that happened in the past 24 hours would change my mind.
In all your years of being a media professional in this market, have you ever been able to come up with a legitimate theory for why Memphians, I include myself in it, why are we so attached to, at best, journeyman second guards, guys that kind of bounce around league to league? For instance, what was the excitement around Marshawn Brooks other than he showed up for 10 days and had a good day? And then there's this weird expectation. Why? And Marshawn's not the last of these type of players, and I don't expect him to be. He wasn't the first. He won't be the last. Why do you think there is such a weird attachment to, let's get real, below average guards?
Well, I do think, with rare exception in sports, fans are optimistic, right? Like, I think sometimes you get these beaten down fan bases, like,
sure,
over decades and decades. Like, I don't really have any. The Mets, honestly.
Yes, fair.
I don't have any, like, really close friends who are also Mets fans. I have some friends who are also Mets fans, but not, like, anybody real close. But because of Twitter and social media, I end up interacting with lots of Mets fans. And it's just a miserable bunch. You know, it's like they always expect the worst thing to happen. Like, even when Jacob deGrom is pitching well, they'll find something bad to focus on, right? So some fan bases are just beaten down, and they expect everything to go badly. But most fan bases, I think, want to be optimistic about something, to have something to look forward to. And the truth is, with a franchise like the Grizzlies, when you've missed on so many draft picks, you don't have draft picks to get excited about. So you're reduced to getting excited about, G League call-ups and, some guy coming over from China. You know, you're reduced to getting excited about stuff that's almost always going to end up in disappointment. I do think that it has been a common thing with this franchise for a few years now to, like, get irrationally excited about just guys who may or not be in the league in a year. That also describes the fascination with Dylan Brooks. Like,
yeah,
if you took Dylan Brooks and put him in most franchises, they'd just be like, that's a nice second-round pick. We might have found, like, a rotation player in the second round. And Grizzlies fans are like, we found our starting guard in the second round. He's the future. And I'm like, yeah, he's a good – he's absolutely a great second-round pick. But, like, he's not a building block. He's just, like, if he's a part of your team for the next however many years, that's fine. But, like, when you start talking about your future – and in the first couple of sentences you're mentioning Dylan Brooks, that speaks to your roster, and it speaks to how often you've missed on draft picks. So I think normally, with an NBA franchise, let's just stick there, if you've had some bad years and you've picked in the lottery, over and over again, you've got some young guys that are interesting, and you focus on them and get excited about them. It hasn't really been the case with the Grizzlies because they've missed so often, whether they were picking second or 22nd. And so you're reduced to getting excited about a guy who, came over from China and scored a lot in a handful of mostly meaningless games. Or you get excited about, some G League call-up. Or you get excited about some free agent signing because, he came in and got 24 points once. But if you get too excited about those guys and you end up filling your roster up with second-round picks and undrafted guys, G League call-ups, ultimately, you end up with a roster that's not good enough to compete in the NBA, and that might ultimately end up where we're at here. I mean, if you look at that roster, there's a lot of guys. You look at some teams' rosters, and it's like a lot of first-round picks, a lot of proven guys. This is a roster that doesn't really have a lot of either of those. And, again, just one game, but it looked that way last night.
There's news out of the NBA from Adrian Wojnarowski. It involves the one-and-done system. We'll get into all of that and more from the NBA college basketball with Gary when we come back right here on the show. Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Well, Xfinity has just what you need with customizable streaming TV. Now you can pick the TV you want and get fast internet speeds all at a better value. Want to save money? Check out our flexible channel packs. Want all your streaming apps in one place? Get X1. Or stream live TV and the latest movies and shows on any device. Whatever you want, whatever you need. Xfinity has you covered with customizable streaming TV. Now that's simple, easy, awesome.
Get started with Xfinity Internet with up to 150 megabits per second download speed, plus TV for $40 each a month for 2 full years when you bundle both with a 2-year agreement. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 11/4/18. Restrictions apply. New X1 starter double play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After agreement, regular rates apply.
This is Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show for the 8th straight year. Can you believe that? We've been doing this show for 8 years, and the very first company who ever advertised on the show was Cooper Systems. They've never left, and I'll owe Lee and Lauren Cooper forever for that. Anyway, I'm assuming by now you know the basics about Cooper Systems. You need a computer, that's your spot. You need computer repair, that's your spot. But did you know Cooper Systems also offers business networking and IT services for small to medium-sized businesses? It's true, they do. So if your network or server is not performing as well as it should, call Cooper Systems. They can design and troubleshoot your network or server, configure your firewall for maximum security, and improve your wireless network. They can get a certified network engineer out to your site and get you running smoothly again. So remember, if you need servers, business class workstations, routers, firewalls, laptops, desktops, Microsoft software licensing, Apple products, virus removal, anything, Cooper Systems is your spot. That is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679 on the web, coopersystems.com.
SAS, the most successful sports gambling system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent. Rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units, 3 units being a max bet. A $1,000 per unit player has shown profits of $273,000 in 2015, $361,000 in 2016, $28,000 this month alone. Confident in this system and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get the winner of Denver, Arizona tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Guaranteed profits of 7 units tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Denver, Arizona free.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
You care about your car, so you take it to the best mechanic. You love your dog, so you take it to a vet you trust. So why go with just anyone when it comes to your insurance? With a local Allstate agent, you get expert advice you can trust and the best coverage for you. And because they live in your community, you can always count on them to be there when you need them the most.
Call a Memphis area Allstate agent today to get local expert advice on the best coverage for you. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Are you in good hands?
At Sport Clips Haircuts, we're on a mission to help our veterans with their education. In 2013, we established the VFW Sport Clips Help a Hero Scholarship Program. With the help of your generous donations, we've raised nearly $5 million and awarded more than 1,000 scholarships across the country. You have changed lives. Help us continue this honorable mission. Learn how you can help the Sport Clips Help a Hero Scholarship Program at sportclips.com.
Thompson Machinery is committed to helping you get the job done fast and efficient, helping to grow your business. That's why we're offering 0% financing for 60 months when you buy a new Cat compact track loader, skid steer loader, mini excavator, backhoe, and more. No matter if you're looking to buy, lease, or rent, we've got the right solution to fit your job site needs. Pick up your Cat machine today or visit us at tmcat.com/bigtimesupport. Thompson Machinery, your local Cat dealer.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
The Broncos head to the Big Toaster out in Glendale, Arizona. I know most of you are thinking that's a gross NFL football game, but I know most of us are going to bet it anyway, so we'll discuss all of that when we have four stories coming up next segment. However, now we welcome back from the airport, Gary Parrish. Gary, to the program. Gary, I want to start here with you. Over at ESPN, your friend Jonathan Givony first reported this news, and the news is that in a move that could challenge the NCAA's monopoly on elite talent, the NBA's G League is creating a new venture as an alternative to the one-and-done route for the best American basketball prospects. It was announced on Thursday as part of a newly formed professional path. Starting in the summer of 2019, the G League will offer, quote, select contracts, end quote, worth $125,000 to elite prospects who are at least 18 years old but not yet eligible for the NBA draft. In your opinion, Gary, does this solve anything?
No. I think more than anything, it is an attempt by the NBA to say, hey, listen, we know the NCAA wants us to get rid of the one-and-done rule. We're not really ready to do that yet, if ever. But, hey, here's $125,000 to these players. If you really don't want them in college, and they really don't want to be in college, because that's what you keep telling us, we don't want them here, they don't want to be here. Well, now we're giving them a real option. Come get a $125,000 job for a year, and then you can enter the subsequent NBA draft. The problem, of course, is that I think it's unwise for the elite prospects to do it. Let's just focus on who it would be in this year's draft.
Okay.
So R.J. Barrett. Sure. R.J. Barrett is number one prospect class of 2018. He enrolled at Duke. You'll watch him in the Champions Classic 2 weeks from this upcoming Tuesday. He'll score 30 points, and people will start to go, oh, my God. Let's tank for R.J. Barrett. He's terrific. He's from Canada and led Canada to a FIBA U19 title a few years ago by destroying a United States team that was coached by John Calipari. So let's say that this system was in place for him. And let's say that R.J. Barrett is somebody who actually, like, has no interest in school whatsoever.
Sure.
So this option maybe is something that he would consider. Such a more difficult life. I mean, I've been on these planes with G League teams sometimes because they play down at Lander Center, and then the next morning I'm on a flight out of Memphis, and they're on a flight out of Memphis. And so you just contrast the lifestyle. First off, let's talk about the money. $125,000.
Yes.
It sounds like a lot of money, and it is for most people, especially an 18-year-old. But it's not that much money to Marvin Bagley or R.J. Barrett because they're going to be worth millions and millions of dollars, like less than a year than when they would sign this G League contract. So you're financially stable, so whatever, or you come from a terrible background, but you're about to go off to a year of college where you're going to be pampered, and your family can if they've been roughing it for the past 18 years, they can rough it for another 9 months. The $125,000 is not going to change anybody's lifestyle. It might pay off a mom's credit card. It might pay off a car. But it ain't really going to change much of anything. But your lifestyle does change if you're R.J. Barrett. For instance, if you go to Duke, you are immediately signing up to live in a nice complex where everything's paid for. You've got first-class trainers available to you every day, first-class training table in terms of food available to you every day, world-class coaching available to you every day. When you play games, every one of them is on national television. Every one of them is probably going to be played in front of a packed arena. Now, if you say, okay, but I want the $125,000, I'm going to go to the G League. Now you're playing in the Lander Center in front of 300 people. You're not on TV ever. You're not chartering to every road game. You're jumping on a Delta flight out of Memphis International. Then you're going to Atlanta. Then you're flying to Austin. You're 6'8", but you're sitting in row 32B, as opposed to on a charter flight with Duke when everything's a first-class seat. It's a different life. Not to mention, you're playing against grown men, and you run the risk of getting exposed. A lot of times the reason these high school prodigies are considered lottery picks is because they've never been tested against anybody that can physically overwhelm them. So why would you want to ruin the illusion, if it is an illusion? Often these guys are exactly what we think they are, but sometimes they're not. And I've always been told, don't let them see what you can't do until they pay you to see it. So why would you go to the G League for $125,000 if somebody's telling you you're a lottery pick, if you just, like, don't ever do anything again between now and that next year NBA draft, or you just go to college and overwhelm physically inferior players, you're going to be a lottery pick that's going to sign a $6 million contract. Why would you take $125,000 and let NBA franchises see you throughout an entire G League schedule against 24-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 26-year-olds who can overwhelm you? Like, if you remember that old Memphis team in 2008, among the reasons it was great wasn't because it had more pro talent than anybody else. Derek was obviously the number one pick. CDR played a few minutes in the NBA. Joey had a few minutes in the NBA. But that's about it. The key to that Memphis team was they were all old. Joey's like 25. Robert Dozier's like 23. Tony Anderson's like 23. Like, they were men. There's not a whole lot of difference, I don't guess, between a 23-year-old and a 27-year-old. There's a lot of difference between a 23-year-old and a 19-year-old. And so if I were advising, like if I were an agent, there's no way I would let somebody who's a projected top 10 pick go to the G League for $125,000 to run the risk of getting exposed by 25-year-old, 28-year-old. Like, we're just going to, you know, Woj tweeted this earlier today, and I think it's exactly right. You could actually, if you are projected top 10 pick, if you wanted to do this, you could go to an agent, Arn Tellem, anybody, and say, I want $125,000. I'm just going to skip college. I'm just going to train for the next year. But I want that G League $125,000. I just don't want to play. There ain't an agent in the world that wouldn't be willing to take that deal. And so if I were the next top 10 pick and this is on the table for me, rather than go to G League for $125,000, I would just shop myself to an agent for $500,000. And say, you know what, I will not play college basketball. I want $500,000 from you. I'll sign with you. I'll go train at IMG Academy. I'll go train in L.A. Go train in Chicago. But I am not going to go to the G League and play against grown men 50 times. So I think it sounds good. It's a big headline. But do I think a single top five prospect in the class of 2019 is going to take them up on that opportunity? No. A, because they probably don't want to. And B, because when they start talking to people and getting advice, they're going to be advised not to do it. It's not a smart move.
Couldn't you also make the argument, in addition to the points that you just laid out, that going to Duke, going to Kentucky, going to a name brand college, that helps you build a brand? Because, for instance, one of the reasons why I think Marvin Bagley was such a popular fan pick during the draft is because people knew who he was because he played at Duke. He had a brand, and obviously it didn't hurt that he was the number one player in the country coming out of high school, but I do feel like the fact that he had a brand was helped built by going to play at an elite college basketball program that we saw.
There's no question. This is among the reasons, not the only reason, but among the reasons the NBA actually likes the one-and-done rule, because they use college basketball and CBS and ESPN, the Final Four and all of it, to build brands on players. For instance, you know, Kevin Durant and Greg Oden were part of the first class that was essentially, I know not technically, but essentially forced into college.
Sure.
That's when the one-and-done rule was put into place. Every class before them, including Amari Stoudemire and Kobe Bryant and Jermaine O'Neal and Kevin Garnett, those guys could go straight from high school to the NBA draft if they wanted. But by the time Kevin and Greg got to be seniors in high school, that was no longer an option. Both of them only went to college at Texas and Ohio State because they couldn't enter the NBA draft. So Kevin goes to Texas, and he's a absolute star. How about this? Let me back up a little bit.
All right.
That year, Kevin enrolls at Texas. It's probably, I don't know, when's the Red River shootout or the Red River rivalry? Whenever that is.
It's usually the first weekend in October, I believe.
Okay, first weekend in October. So I go to that in Dallas, and it's on a Saturday, obviously. And then the plan is for me to wake up on Sunday, fly to Austin, then wake up on Monday and spend the whole day with Kevin on campus in Austin, which is exactly what I did. He came to my hotel. He picked me up. Me and Kevin Durant went to lunch. We went to campus. We walked around campus. We went to practice. We went to dinner. We spent that whole day together. Not one person said a word to us the whole day. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody came up to us at lunch and said, hey, are you Kevin Durant? I think they knew he was tall because he was, but nobody cared. We walked around campus. I don't know. If somebody took a picture, I never saw it. He was just a basketball player. But then the season starts, and he's, like, putting up historically great numbers on national television, you know, going for 35, making long shots, being, you know, at his size, something that is very, very unique. And by the time he enters the NBA draft, he's not just a tall, immensely gifted basketball player, because he was always that. He was that a year earlier when nobody cared about him, even in Austin, Texas, when we're walking around together. But now he's an immensely talented basketball player who's been on television 30 times. And so not only is he, I guess he was drafted by Seattle because the franchise was still there at the time. You know, he's somebody you could throw on billboards immediately. If Seattle would have drafted Kevin Durant a year before, they would have just been drafting a largely unknown, immensely talented basketball player. But a year of college basketball turned him into an immensely talented and immensely famous face of the franchise. You can put him on billboards and sell tickets off of him. And to your point, you know, Kevin, I think, signed right out of college an $80 million deal with Nike. There is no way he gets an $80 million deal with Nike entering the NBA coming straight out of high school because, again, nobody really knew who he was outside of, you know, recruiting analysts and hardcore college basketball fans. But because he was on Big Monday, you know, and in the Big 12 tournament and playing at Allen Fieldhouse and on ESPN and playing on this stage that college basketball provides, he was a star by the time he entered the NBA draft. And it probably made him, I don't think it's an exaggeration, at least $60, $70 million in endorsements at the age of 19 years old. So that is absolutely another thing somebody should consider. You know, R.J. Barrett could go play in the G League this year if the rule was already in place, and it would not make him any more of a star than he already is. But if R.J. Barrett goes out in the Champions Classic two Tuesdays from this coming up Tuesday night and scores 32 points on Kentucky and then leads Duke to a national championship, not only is he going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, but he's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft with a $100 million Nike contract coming out of college. Absolutely, that's something that's got to be considered, and it's just another reason why I think it would be foolish for any top 10 prospect to actually, you know, trade all of this stuff in that we're talking about for $125,000.
All right, then lastly, before we let you go, you're a baseball fan. I'm a baseball fan. Did you have any problem with the controversial call during the first inning of the ALCS game, the fan interference ruling? They went to replay. It was inconclusive. They ended up ruling it fan interference. Did you have any problem with the way that that was handled?
I have a problem in the sense that it was the wrong call. You know, like, it didn't cost me money. It didn't cost my favorite team anything. So whatever. I didn't, like, go to bed angry, but it felt like it was the wrong call. You know, it looked to me like the glove was in the stands. You know, fan interference by definition does not exist if an outfielder reaches, or an infielder, or a catcher, anybody.
Sure.
Once you reach into the stands even a little bit, fan interference does not count. Like, a fan could take a player's – no, I shouldn't say this. It's not that fan interference doesn't exist. Like, if a fan grabbed an outfielder's glove and pulled it off,
correct,
that would be fan interference. But if the contact is incidental, and last night clearly was, then fan interference does not exist. And so what happened here is Joe West on the field calls it a home run, and then it appears that back in Chelsea, because that's where the Major League Baseball studios are, they could not get a clear enough view to overturn it. That's why they said the call will stand as opposed to the call is confirmed. They did not confirm that Joe West got it right. They just couldn't overturn it. But, you know, I guess it was TBS had all sorts of angles on it, and it did look to me like the glove was in the stand and the contact was incidental. It should have been a home run. Again, I didn't, like, lose sleep over it, but I thought they got it wrong. And if I were an Astros fan, I'd be furious. Now you tell me. Keep in mind, I was traveling and watching on a computer, but did it look to you like the ball was — it was a home run? And it either wasn't going to be caught, or whatever contact was made over the fence.
To me, it looked like his glove got knocked but not by the guy that it appeared they were trying to rule fan interference on. It was one of those situations where I don't think if fans exist, I think he makes the catch. But the problem is that's not part of the rule. The rule is as long as they don't reach out and interfere, they have a right to the baseball if they're just reaching for the baseball. The way that I kind of, it was on TV2 for me, so when I was watching it live, I just figured based on the angles that they showed, whatever they called on the field, that was what they were going to go with.
And that was exactly right. Like, whatever the, it was one of those, and we see this in football all the time.
Yes.
We go, okay, if they call this a catch, it's going to be a catch. If they call this an incomplete pass, it's going to be an incomplete pass because you just really can't tell. Last night's situation was exactly that. That's why they said the call stands, not the call is confirmed. But you're exactly right. Just a fan hitting an outfielder's glove is not fan interference. If the contact is incidental and the contact happens over the wall, then it's just like, hey, that's part of the game. And so maybe, you know, what's interesting is this happened, you know, in the Astros park as opposed to at Fenway. You know, and maybe the lesson here, if we didn't learn it from Steve Bartman so many years ago, like if you are cheering for the home team and you're like on the first row of anything or the second row of anything, you know, if your team is doing something positive, don't put yourself in a position to mess it up. You don't need a baseball that badly because, you know, even though it should have still been a home run, the call went against Houston, and I don't think it's a stretch to say that it changed the way the rest of that game played out.
Yeah, I think you hit it on something right there. I think if you're in the front row, you have to make a pact with everyone in the front row. If a baseball is hit towards us, we all agree whoever just gets hit in the gut, everyone's going to wear it for the team. Whoever gets hit in the gut, that's who gets to keep the baseball. But none of us are going to do anything that could cause harm to the team.
Well, like, and beyond that, like, what do you want a baseball so badly for?
What do they go for now? Retail probably $350, $4.
Well, like we went to Mets batting practice, I guess two summers ago in St. Louis, and Oliver thought it was the coolest thing. Like, we were down on the field, and one of the Mets hitting coaches was like, they were really nice. Like, they you know, there's only eight of us down there,
yeah,
in this area, and you know, there's a couple little kids, my son, and it's really like players' kids or players' nephews. Like, we were the only non-family people there, and so they're great. Curtis Granderson came over and played with Oliver and gave him a ball, and a hitting coach came over and rolled Oliver a ball, and so Oliver walked out of there with a couple of balls, and that was cool, like the experience of getting them. But like, I don't know where they are now. after what do you need a baseball so bad for? Like, I understand, like, it's very cool for a kid to like get a ball and walk out of there with a ball. But when we see these types of things in baseball, it's never a kid. It's always like some 42-year-old fat guy. It's always like somebody who looks like me reaching for a baseball. Like, what do you want that baseball? Like, if we could pause it and go, okay, two things are about to happen here. One of the two, you are either about to get a baseball, woohoo, or you might cost your team a home run. Would you rather just, like, go ahead and say there's no way I'm getting this baseball so I don't cost my team a home run? Like, if you had time to think it through, you'd never do what that person did, which is why I don't understand why more people don't think it through in advance. Like, if you're going to a baseball game and you're sitting in a place where a foul ball might be or a home run might be and you don't want to mess that up, like, if Jose Altuve hits it and you're an Astros fan, stay away from it. Now, if Jackie Bradley hits it and you're an Astros fan,
go
do whatever you got to do. It doesn't matter to me. But, you know, like that presumably a Houston fan last night cost the Astros a home run. And, you know, that'll be a story of his life for a long, long time, probably forever.
Yeah, between that situation that you just explained with middle-aged men going after baseballs and then everyone going after a T-shirt from a T-shirt cannon, when 75% of the people know that shirt's not going to fit, the amount of strain and just energy and burned calories that people spend to get a T-shirt at a sporting event blows me away.
Dude, T-shirt, like, that's even worse, I think, than baseball. T-shirt guns.
Yes.
Like it, first off, it's a $3 T-shirt.
Yep.
It's a crap T-shirt that is probably not something you're going to wear that often. You're also probably not going to get it, even though you're standing up and screaming like an idiot. And even if you do get it, like, well, you don't even want it. Like, you won't wear it. At least I wouldn't. So, like, what are you doing? Like, it is hilarious to me. Like, you could put anything in a T-shirt gun, and people would flip out. You'd be like, all right, we've got dog crap in this T-shirt gun. Who wants some dog crap? People would be standing up like, I want dog crap shirt over here. It's like bananas to me, the way it makes, like, otherwise reasonable people flip out. You would think like they were shooting Beyonce out of the gun. Like, if they actually said, hey, we've got Beyonce in this T-shirt gun. Who wants a Beyonce? I'd be like, you know what? I want a Beyonce. Shoot Beyonce to me. But until it's Beyonce, calm down. It's just a cheap T-shirt. Why are you so excited about a cheap T-shirt? Like, in fact, if I walked up to one of my friends and I would be like, hey, I've got this cheap T-shirt with a bad logo on it that's really rough and it feels like crap. You want it? They'd probably say no. But if I put it in a T-shirt gun and aimed it at them, they'd be flipping out. Like, but GP, shoot it over here, GP. It's just crazy. I've never understood it at all. But it'll happen tomorrow night at FedEx Forum. So, anyway, enjoy the scene.
Yeah, it just strikes me that it must be the thrill of winning, right? You feel like you win if you grab the T-shirt. Is that because it is something that has never made sense to me ever. Like, even when I was like 12, I can remember thinking like, why are all these, like, you don't, like, you're never going to wear it. It doesn't. And I was always a small kid. I will admit that still today, not tall. So XLTs don't really fit me. So maybe that had something to do with it, but it just always blew my mind.
But it's funny, the idea that you think, the reason you stand up and flip out over a T-shirt gun possibility is because you think you'll be a winner, when in reality, everybody else is just looking at you like, what is that loser doing? It's sort of a weird breakdown when you look at it from that perspective.
GP, you're the best. We look forward to having you back in studio tomorrow.
I can't wait. Thanks for doing what you're doing. I'll see you.
Gary Parrish, again, he will be back in studio here tomorrow for the Gary Parrish Show. Brad,
yeah,
do you go nuts when you win a T-shirt?
Here is the thing, and I got to defend a little bit.
Okay.
I think it's ridiculous what these men and women do for T-shirts and baseballs. Now, let me put that aside.
Okay.
For whatever reason, my 10-year-old, the kids are fascinated by it. Like, the idea of getting something free thrown to them in the stands or chucked at them through this machine that chucks it at 150 miles an hour or whatever, sometimes it unfolds, which is unfortunate.
And it sometimes then hits you in the nuts if you're the mascot for the Colorado Buffaloes.
And that's a fun bit.
And then you give us content. That is the gift that keeps on giving.
But I do it for my kid. That's what I'm saying. I think it's ridiculous, but I do it for Jake.
Yeah, I understand that. But to me, it's...
Give me a shirt, Dad.
I get that. But to me, what blows me away is the amount of calories that are
crazy.
Burned by people. And for instance, I'm willing to, if it's very obvious to me, like when I see a dad hustle for a foul ball.
Yeah.
And then my ADHD brain watches him follow back to give it to his kid.
Yep.
I go, I get that. I totally understand that.
Yep.
What blows me away is when you have the 41-year-old, middle-aged, heavy-set guy with more than a bald spot, if you will, that is, like, knocking people down. He's clearly there, like,
Right.
He's not there with kids. He's there by himself or with, like, other contemporaries.
Two things. One, they need better prize packs, especially in those drop bags they do, the FedEx bags.
FedEx one,
and I think FedEx is a fine company. Shouts to FedEx.
I think it's more than a fine company.
It's the best.
Think it's the finest.
And they're on the jersey, dog. I mean, they're awesome. Having said that, like, we know those bags just got a T-shirt that they're dropping from the rafter.
So that's
A. Like, that'd be great if it had some real cool stuff in it beyond the T-shirt. But I do like, the second point I was going to make is, I like where this is going, though, with the dance contest. Like, it's productive. You get children who are otherwise looking at technology and cell phones dancing on the screen. The one part of it is it's a little neurotic because little Johnny just wants to get on the screen so he can see himself on the Videotron now.
Well, no, this happened last night during the ALDS game, during the Houston game.
Right.
There was the kid that was dressed up in the Astros.
He was dressed up as a spaceman. The spaceman thing, right.
And I thought, like, oh, like, they first showed it, like, they zoomed in on it tight. I was like, okay, that's got to be a cool moment for that kid
because
he didn't really embarrass himself. That kid looked like someone that might have been popular in
school or whatever, right.
Fourth grade.
Yes, absolutely.
But then as they zoomed out the picture, you realize that his dad was filming him. And then I was like, that is a perfect 2018 microcosm. You're exploiting your child
for
a social media moment for you. Like, that was what I was like, I hate the world.
Yeah, you just ruined the moment, dude.
Yes. Yes, yes. Don't have time to get to four stories, so when we come back,
perfect,
we're going to get to Jeff Calkins. But before we do that, Brad, we have a four-pack of tickets to the season opener, correct?
Yes, we do.
So we have a four-pack to the season opener.
All four tickets together.
We're going to take caller number... Let's take caller number seven, because that's the average number of rebounds the Grizzlies got per quarter last night. Caller number seven, you will win a four-pack of tickets to tomorrow night's home opener, 7 o'clock, against the Hawks. When we come back, Jeff Calkins is going to join us right here on the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Download the official 92.9 FM ESPN app, the radio.com app. Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis's sports station.
SAS, the most successful sports gambling system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent. Rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units, 3 units being a max bet. A $1,000 per unit player has shown profits of $273,000 in 2015, $361,000 in 2016, $28,000 this month alone. Confident in this system and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get the winner of Denver, Arizona tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Guaranteed profits of 7 units tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Denver, Arizona free.
This is Gary Parrish from the Gary Parrish Show. And at this point, I've been telling you about James Davis for years. It's one of the best clothing stores in the entire country. And it's the place to go if you need a custom fit shirt. You know, a shirt that'll fit you perfectly regardless of how you're shaped and keep you looking sharp. Rob Joyner, he sold me on him a while back. Now he's here to sell you.
Gary, you know from experience, this is the greatest technology ever in custom fit shirts. We have 3 measurements that we take in, put it in the computer. It gives us one perfect fit shirt for your body out of 175 try-ons. You then pick the fabric from over 150 fabrics, starting at just $98. They're made to your perfect fit and delivered in 7 to 9 days with your choice of collars and cuffs. We've delivered over 2,000 shirts in a year. Guys, just keep coming back to get more. The days of make and do, wearing potato sack fit with sleeves hanging around your knuckles are over.
So where are you going to get that new custom fit shirt you know you need? James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. Yes, both regular and big and tall sizes are available. Check them out on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Every major league ball club knows that having a strong team with the right people on it is absolutely essential to having a great season. That's also why people looking to hire decide to post open jobs on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. Over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Stop by happy hour daily at our bar from 4:30 to 6:30, featuring $2 off all wines by the glass, all bottled beer, and daily $5.50 cocktail specials. We also offer one of the largest bourbon lists in the city. Enjoy our small bites like the Oysters of Love and house-smoked salmon deviled eggs. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room. With flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing, it'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
Hi, I'm Brett Clark, operating partner of Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Celebrate, dine, and enjoy a night out with friends at Fleming's in Memphis. Experience locally inspired dishes curated by Chef Craig himself, including beef tenderloin tacos, grilled lollipop lamb chops, or for dessert, a deep-fried banana waffle sundae. In the mood for cocktails and bar bites? Check out our innovative new Bar La Carte menu or Prime Happy Hour every day from 5 to 7. Visit FlemingSteakhouse.com to make your reservation today.
Friday and Saturday at the Kroger, 2 days only digital sale. Select varieties of Kettle Brand potato chips are 99 cents with your card and digital coupon from Kroger.com.
Many health conditions such as high blood pressure are connected to gum disease in your mouth. Good thing their signs can be detected in root.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.